Okay. Good. So welcome from me, Peter, and welcome from Claire Carter, who she might wave. She's been supporting me in getting these off the ground.
Hello.
Great, thank you. And a fellow focusing teacher and someone also keen on Nature Connection and this whole topic. So yeah, welcome to Claire and welcome to everyone here. Just a couple of Zoom technicalities before we dive in, which would be if you can change how you view, if you're new to Zoom, you can change how you view the screen. So you can have it like I've got it, which is like a grid of squares that gives me a nice overview. I can see when people wave and whatnot. Or you can just have, I think it's called speaker view, where you just, it's just whatever the person who's speaking at that moment becomes large. Or you can just turn it off and listen. You know, I don't really mind how you do that. So that's that. We might be using chat. So somewhere on, if you're using it on a computer, at the bottom of the screen, you'll have a button that says chat. And then you can sort of send messages to the whole group, or I use it as a kind of virtual whiteboard sometimes, or you can send messages also sort of privately as well, like sometimes you might need to let me know something, you've got to go or whatever. So that's also there. Generally, people are muted. Again, that's nothing personal, it just saves background noise. But when you do want to speak, unmute yourself. If you can't unmute yourself, kind of make a signal somehow, and I will do that for you. Normally it works. Yeah, any Zoom questions till we do the next piece? Good. Okay. Good. So we'll begin. Now, I'm going to begin in a very focusing kind of way. For those who don't know about what focusing is, I'll tell you about that in a minute. But it's really I'll spend just a couple of minutes and end with a little quote, like just tuning into the present moment a bit, arriving in oneself. It gives me a chance to arrive in myself too. Just settling in together and in this moment, just for a minute or two, help us arrive, and then we'll move on to the content of the call. So my invitation is to be comfortable. You can close your eyes, have some open, rest your attention. You can even be standing up, I don't really mind, but find a way for your body to be comfortable and supported. That's really important, to feel support and the contact with what you're standing or sitting on. So noticing that, maybe starting by just noticing that, the sense of being supported in your body. Where do you feel that place of contact? Beneath you, your feet, buttocks, maybe behind you, your back. So wherever you sense a connection, sense that, the kind of sensation there. And let that, wherever you're sitting or standing, or let it take your weight. And then from there, maybe noticing the rest of your, the edges of your body, your skin, your clothes. So just getting a sense of the shape of your body, your posture. The space you take up. Feel your clothes, your skin. And noticing your breath, maybe. And allowing that to take your awareness inside the body and just noticing how you are right now. You don't have to change yourself or make yourself feel calm or anything like that. You might be calm, and that's welcome. So whoever you are is welcome. And just noticing how it is for you to be here. So it's like giving yourself permission to be just as you are in this moment. So taking a few more breaths. an end-to-end. I'm taking in this quote by Eugene Gendlin, the developer of Focusing. Your body is not a machine. Your body is not a machine. Rather, a wonderfully intricate interaction with everything around you, which is why it knows so much just in being. Your body is not a machine, rather a wonderfully intricate interaction with everything around you, which is why it knows so much just in being. So thank you, everyone, for showing up, for joining me on this call. I'll start by just saying a little bit about where I'm coming from. And then we're going to look at four different topics, if we have time. At least we might only touch on a couple of them at the end, but we'll put four different themes around this whole topic. So me, I teach a practice called Focusing. Some of you may have heard of it, some of you might not have done. What it is in a nutshell is a way of listening to your body, to that inner knowing we have, or we can access at least through the body. And often we ignore, you know, we live a lot of our lives, let's say, with a bias towards our thinking. And there's nothing wrong with thinking, but there's more information that's accessible in a more embodied way. Yeah? So focusing is a doorway into that, and this is why I teach. It's a very natural process. You can do it on your own. You can do it in a paired practice kind of way. It can be mixed with other things. So that's kind of what, that's the sort of practice I'm, or that practice and the meeting of that and what's happening in the world is what I'm bringing. And in that practice, just to say specifically, over the last few years, I've noticed more and more what I've sensed in my body has been about what's happening around me. So, you know, typically you might, if you come across focusing, it might be described as, oh, a way of dealing with problems, personal problems, which is great. Actually, it's very good at dealing with that. Like, you've got some argument or some unresolved issue with somebody, lovely. It's a really nice way of helping with that. But actually what I'd noticed is something else was happening. I was beginning to feel a kind of some sense of what was happening all around me. It was impacting me in a very bodily way. Yeah. And then on top of that, I've been learning about what's been happening in the world, educating myself and doing nature connection work and the work of Joanna Macy. Some of you might know of that. So all of this has kind of led into today. Anyway, today is an offering of, okay, what does this practice have to offer us embodied humans when we face this big situation, this global ecological crisis? I mean, that's, when I say global ecological crisis, I'm using that as a coverall term for quite a lot of other things as well. It's just a shorthand for things are really going in a bad way in many ways, not completely all the time, but you know, there's a situation we're facing, you know, and we feel that in our bodies. So we're here to explore some ways to navigate that experience. Yeah. So welcome to those who just arrived late. I'll just give you another quote, the last quote, but again, another one from Gendlin, which I also love, which fits here. Because it's about, in a way, it's about truth, it's about sitting with what's true. So he says here, what is true is already so. Owning up to it doesn't make it worse. Not being open about it doesn't make it go away. And because it's true, it is what is there to be interacted with. Anything untrue isn't there to be lived. People can stand what is true, for they are already enduring it. What is true is already so. Owning up to it doesn't make it worse. Not being open about it doesn't make it go away. And because it is true, it is what is there to be interacted with. So for me, that really speaks to the situation we're in. Yeah. And that situation we're in our perhaps smaller world of like sitting with an uncomfortable truth, but the situation we're in globally, sitting with a truth that is there, but we might not want to face it. Yeah, we might want to not own up to it. We might want to make it go away, but it doesn't make it any different. There's still the truth there to be with. So that's what we're exploring. And our bodies know this. So just elaborate a little bit on this. Our bodies have a sense of it. And I was just reflecting on it. Why is it? What's this about? And I think it really comes down to this topic of, or this experience really of feeling interconnected. That's the way I'm putting it. But you know, because we're connected in ways we know, and also ways we can't necessarily access immediately with our mind, because we're connected, we feel some sense of what's happening to the natural world around us. Yeah. So when we see, like, there's a forest near me is being cut down, and when I see that, even though I know it's probably for good reasons and they're managing it, but I feel it in a bodily way. You know, when we see things on the news, devastation through storms or fracking or some landscape has been devastated, you know, it impacts us. We feel it in our body because we're connected. We kind of know what it's like to be living and something to be broken in that way. Yeah? So our bodies feel it. And I think this is, it connects to this basic sense of interconnectedness. Interbeing is what Thich Nhat Hanh calls it. And also Charles Eisenstein uses this term, interbeing. So I want to open up the conversation a little bit and just invite you a question for you. So there's a situation that you're aware of in your consciousness, and you feel it impacts you. So let's just gather up in chat and in speaking. What do you feel in response? Yeah, what happens to you when you take in the situation? However you might take in it, people have all sorts of different information and ways into it, but I'm assuming everyone here has some awareness of what's happening in our natural world, whether that's through climate change or other issues. How does that impact you? What do you notice? What response? And take a moment to really feel it as well, or feel a fresh sense of it. I'm not going to go deep into it, but let's label it. Yeah, let's name it. And you can sort of say, you can do this through chat, or you can do this through speaking. Some of your just responses, when you just bring that to mind, just for a moment, what happens? What happens in you? Yeah. So I'm assuming if it comes up on the chat, I'm just going to read it out. If it's to everyone, if it's to me personally, I won't quote. I generally probably wouldn't quote you anyway, but yeah, too much. Apathy. Thank you.
So feel in a sense of constriction.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Tight and
like in a body constriction, yeah.
Yeah.
Heart beating, sad, tightening in the chest, despair, deep despair.
Yeah, well, it's kind of in the throat a lot as well.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. So I'm going to read a few other ones out here. Yeah, sort of phasing out, vaguing out. Absolutely, heaviness, cold.
I notice a constriction in my body as well.
Yeah,
from my throat. It's almost like a column inside. Everything comes to the center.
Right. Yeah. Gosh. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So some very bodily feelings come here: panic, overwhelm. My head wants to turn down. Sick feeling, yearning for connection with fresh nature. Disbelief, yeah, I get that one a lot. Distance from others.
Yeah, I think for me at the moment, kind of grief and despair.
Yeah.
Kind of all three in my body, actually, you know, even kind of arms and legs really feel.
Yeah, it. Yeah.
Feels it.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. That's right, grief, despair. Someone says, yeah, I live so much in my head. It's just nice to put folks back in my body. I know the truth without thinking. I like my head. Yeah, it knows something. That's right. Disconnection, what can I do? That's right. Thank you.
What I notice too is that how much the mind affects me.
Yeah,
Because if I'm just out in nature and in life and living without thinking, things are much more open and in the present moment.
Yeah.
But if I include my thoughts about things, it really changes how my body responds.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. That's the doorway you've opened up there. We could really go into, but yeah, exactly. So there is the bodily feeling, right? What it feels like, and then there's other things that go on too. Yeah, our thoughts about it that might make things worse. I will touch on this a bit, or they might disconnect us, or all sorts of processes. I mean, it's a very there's a lot goes on. There really is a lot that happens here.
Well, that's sort of what was going on. It's like, well, I think what you asked us to do was to kind of think about this. The story of how things are right now.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And so that puts me in my head and thinking, and that's when my body responds to those thoughts.
Yeah. So that's one way around that works, exactly. For me, sometimes I get into catastrophizing. So I'm thinking, oh, the bad things are going to happen. Oh my God, you know, this is going to happen. And they're actually happening now, but then that begins to affect my body and I get into panic. And then the body gets into panic, and then it affects your thoughts, and you know, so these things can happen. So I'm just going to touch on this, but thank you, Tosha. Blaming the other, right? Okay, yeah, exactly. Anger, no one's said that yet. I'm sure it's there in the mix, right? I'm going to pause the process there just for a moment because we could go on. And thank you for those who shared. Heartbreaking tears, yeah. Just want to mention all the main pieces: rage, despair. So I want to talk about what focusing has to offer, all of that, at least some of it. And I also want to really acknowledge at this point, you know, I'm not coming here saying like, oh, I've got all the answers. Focusing's got all the answers. Hey, it's not really like that. But it has helped me a lot. So that's what I'm sharing, what's helped me. But it's only one piece of the puzzle, one piece of the whole thing. So I guess I'm sharing the pieces that I'm bringing, but I know it's not the whole picture of what we need to do and what can support a person in all this process. But one big way in which it's helped me is it's created a welcoming space for all of these things, of which I relate. I can't think of anyone that I haven't felt in some way or another. I have all the list of people I've read, or people like what you said, the feelings in the body, the thoughts that come, all the kind of feelings and physical sensations. I'm sure all of us can relate to them in different ways, to a greater or lesser extent. So focusing is this real welcoming space. Everything is welcome here. Yeah? Nothing needs to be excluded. And there is an extra piece, is that a lot of these things aren't all of us. So here's the teaching bit that I use every day of my life. It really helps me. From this is what I learned in focusing. You might learn it somewhere else, but some of these feelings are just parts of us. So it's not all of us. And it's that process of noticing that and becoming a bit bigger than some of these feelings that can really help and really support a kind of a relationship to that feeling, and also moving, kind of noticing other things going on around it too. So this is what I would call being with, the teaching of being with our feelings, where we're not being overwhelmed by them. So this is a real gem from focusing. As I say, I use every day in my life, and I use it to some extent with this, definitely with this issue as well, although it's a very big issue, isn't it? I will elaborate a little bit, but yeah, a lot of these things are, if you like, manifestations of, or not manifest, they're kind of, or one way of relating to them is they're parts of us that we can come into relationship to. In the same way, they're parts that we don't have to let run our life, so we can honor them. Maybe honor the feelings that are coming, we honor the responses that are happening, but that doesn't mean we let them run everything, if you like. So I'm going to share a simple tool, very simply, using language that helps us shift our way of relating from feeling like a feeling is all of us to it's part of us. So we'll do that, and then we'll just open up for questions again. So this is a kind of short exercise, reflective kind of moment, really. And I'm going to say something to you in two different ways. I'm going to invite you to notice if you can how they affect your experience. How do they sound? Or how does saying them or thinking them? How does it affect how you feel? So I like to call this a spot the difference exercise. You say in two different ways and notice the difference. I'm just going to say these things to you and see what you feel. So can you sense the difference between saying, I feel anxious, and something in me feels anxious? So I'll say this again. I feel anxious, and then something in me feels anxious. And take a moment just to sense that and take time with it in your body. I feel anxious. Take a breath there. Something in me feels anxious. I wonder if anyone can feel a difference in those two ways of saying it, and if so, they might want to describe it or massive difference. Yeah, someone like just come up in the chat. Yeah, so anyone want to share what they noticed? Just even saying it like that, describe a difference. A sense of open awareness opening out wider. Yeah, thank you. That's right. The second way feels less full on. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I can have it. It's like, I feel anxious. It's like, and then it kind of got smaller. It was still there. More accepting of something in me. Okay, one is all-consuming, the other is more like something I'm observing. Yeah. There's a sense of kindness in a second way, in giving it a bit of space. Exactly. Thank you, yeah. Give space, that's right.
I find that my chest feels really constricted with the first one. Like I can't properly. My breath sort of naturally goes much deeper with the second one. I feel it going right down.
Right, yes, yeah, so you can feel it in your breathing and the breath. Yeah. Yeah, something in me opening up. Thanks, Kate. Yeah. More okay. Yep. Feels like there's more space around it. I can take it more seriously when I'm not identified with it. Thanks, Claire. That's interesting, isn't it? Our relationship to it changes in that way, too. We might be able to kind of, anyway, listen to it more easily. I guess that's part of what we're doing here. I can stay with it in the second one. Thank you.
It acknowledges the feeling, doesn't it? Without letting it sort of take over.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So it's like this word honoring, I like it. It honors it, allows it to be there, but it's like it's not all of you. Yeah. It doesn't take over. Thank you. Yeah. So this, I mean, it's very touching on this, which is actually this kind of, it's a tool, and it points to something deeper, which is this a way of being a kindly observer to one's experience. And it's a tool that sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. Sometimes you need to find your own words to it. Yeah, thank you, Elena. Yeah, you can own a feeling rather than it owning you. Exactly. So it gives you a way of coming into relationship with those feelings, and then there's so much more possibility that happens then. Yeah, you can be with it. You can listen to what wants attention. You can, and I'll come onto this in a minute, you're bigger than it, so you can notice other things in your experience. It's a really important bit, especially when we're dealing with panic and overwhelm. And just, it's just that's one word, isn't that weird? Something in me, I'm noticing something in me that feels panicky. immediately begins to give a bit of ease for many people. And this works with a lot of the things that we explored in the chat earlier on. Even to disconnection, disbelief, panic, overwhelm. Even working with the parts of us that want to turn away. You know, that's, for me, it's been a huge bit of this journey. It's been like, I don't want to look. I don't want to look what's going on in the world. It's too much. So actually, that's also part of me, the part of me that wants to turn away and doesn't want to look. Like, oh, I just want to watch Netflix. That's fine. Oh, that's fine. I'll just do that. So the part of me that really does not want to look. So that's also a part of you too. The kind of that's maybe protecting you or keeping you from feelings that it feels are too big. So in many ways you can use this sort of, I call it a technique, but it's a way of looking, it's being with. So there's a takeaway for you. Try that when you're feeling panicky, when you're reading a bit of news, or you're being confronted with something. See if you can make a shift of language. I feel scared, or something in me feels scared, and see what happens. I mean, it's not the only piece, right? But see what happens. But I want to make a little special place here for one feeling, which is grief. Where this doesn't quite fit, at least it hasn't in my experience, to say something in me feels grief. I mean, in a way it could do. It's just a bit borderline whether it, I think it's such an important response that I want to give it some special attention here, which is that sense of, I'll come back to that, Carol, thank you. When we connect with the body, with what's happening in the world, so often we feel grief and so often we cut off from it, or some part of us cuts off from it. So I think it really needs honoring and expressing and receiving. And I could do a whole hour on this process really. But I just want to point to it now about how important it is, how important it is to make space for that. You know, this grief is our song of connection really. It's that feeling in us that shows that we care, you know, that we're connected to what's happening, that we love things, you know. If we didn't love things, we wouldn't feel any grief. So I think allowing this to be felt, or finding ways of allowing it to be felt and seen and expressed and received, is so important. And, you know, focusing as a practice, for those who know it, already know it. It's a great way of doing that. You create a safe container between you and another person. And it's a place where you can bring something like that. Community also. Community circles or places or groups you might meet in. Where you can bring your grief, such an important resource in this situation we're in. So it's a question now. Yeah. So Carol, what about joy? Do you really feel like the whole body, grief and joy? Yeah. Well, gratitude, you know, is another piece of this, isn't it? You know, I suppose that's in a way what I was saying. You know, that grief that we feel is connected because we feel connected. Is that it comes because we feel love and connection to the natural world. So part of that might be joy too. And I don't think it fits to say something in me feels joy so much. We just might feel it. So I think these feelings are, maybe they're, I haven't really worked out how to articulate the difference, but they feel different from things like panic and overwhelm and despair and helplessness. They're of a different order, and I haven't got a map to tell you what that is right now. But I suppose what I do know is experientially it feels different when I go, something in me feels panicky. I go, yeah, that works, it fits my experience, it feels true. But when I say something in me feels grief, it doesn't quite hit it. That's just me. It doesn't mean you wouldn't try it. But let's pause there. So that's just sharing that tool of something, seeing something as a part, being with. Yeah. 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 Is that okay? Well, I'm assuming that's okay to read out. So yeah, so this is part of my grief. I don't know if I can ever feel joy in a carefree way that I felt before I realized how bad a climate breakdown was. Yeah. I can really relate to this. I was on a grief weekend recently. We were exploring, and this came up very strongly to me. I'm like, I was looking at the trees, and I look at them, and all I think, and all that comes is grief. And I'm like, you've taken away my nice thing that I had. But then I did the grief ritual, and then I just, and then I felt better. So something, I gave space to that, and somehow I really gave it space. So that was my way of working with it, and then I could, and I felt joy again, and I could feel connected. So yeah, grief ritual is, I was very lucky, and there aren't many people running these, but it is a space where what a community experience where grief is welcomed in a very particular kind of way. In the way I did it, we had about 18 of us, and there was a kind of place where you offered your grief like an altar, and then there was kind of drumming and music in the background. So it wasn't even you spoke it, actually. You just, you kind of felt, you were invited to feel it and show it. So it's very, it's a kind of container, a space where grief is welcomed and expressed in a very sort of a free way, but with a lot of holding. So that's a very simple answer to that question. What is a grief ritual? But you could set up something like that yourself, you know, in a way. I don't think there's one way to do this. There are possibilities of just even going out into land, you know, and on your own, and just, I don't know, finding a place in a landscape, showing your grief there, or just find a good friend. And as I say, focusing relationship, focusing partnership is a place where I've shown that feeling as well. Yeah. So that was just a piece about grief that I wanted to touch on. And all, oh yeah, so listen, any questions about that something in me piece, we'll just give it a couple more minutes, because I just want some other pieces I want to share. But basically, does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense to me. I do focusing myself, so it's really helpful. Okay. And to unmerge from whatever it is I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And sometimes I even go a step further. I use, I can say, I'm sensing something in me that's crying or that's angry. Or
grief. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Exactly. I'm sensing, and that really evokes the kind of you, like a bigger you, sensing something in me. Lovely. So lots of chat coming in here, which I can't quite keep up with. But if you'll please read it as it's going through. But yeah, some great recommendations here. Brandon, Francis Weller's book, Changed My Life. Such a beautiful book. The Wild Age of Sorrow. And really amazing bit of work. I'll do a whole seminar on that, actually. So we'll come back to that. I want to move on to a little bit to the next piece, which is about connected, which is in a way what can happen next once we've acknowledged these feelings as part of us. You know, once I'm sensing something in me that feels anger, that feels despair, or feels helplessness, or it gives you an opportunity to what I'm called finding what feels alive in your body. Yeah. As opposed to what feels frozen, finding what feels alive. So it's so easy to end up, you know, when we face ecological breakdown, we go into, you know, basically a fear response. That's what I noticed was happening in me, and people have mentioned that already. Tight, constricted chest, you know, but fear very quickly turns into immobility, which doesn't give us much option, right? So something in me, or that way of looking at things, or that just acknowledging that, opens my awareness to notice something else. There might be more going on in my body, apart from those feelings of helplessness, or collapse, or freezing, or panicking. So it gives an opportunity to be aware of a sort of broader container of your body. And yeah, it's very, so helpful. But I want to say one more piece before I go on with that, which is the other thing I noticed was how easily my own, that fear response got tangled up in my own personal history, let's say my own places of overwhelm in my childhood. Very easily get tangled up like that. So it's like fear of what's going to happen in the world, and then it's like my own fear of being abandoned or whatever it might be, you know, kind of colliding physiologically. Very, I've seen this happen over and over again to myself and other people too. So just want to acknowledge that, how that can happen, and then it makes it even harder to work with, because we're kind of stuck in a very deep physiological response of fear, which is kind of natural with what we're facing in the world. But then we've got, you know, on top of that, tangled in it, is of our own history too, really. And it's easy to give up at that point. We lose initiative, we lose agency. We, you know, all those patterns we might have got into as a small being, as a child or whatever, get activated, and it's even easier to give up. So yeah, just invite you to I guess find a way of really being aware of that possibility that they might get mixed in that way, and being really gentle with yourself. Yeah, we might even need kind of ways of healing those parts of us that are carrying those from before. I mean, it's hard enough anyway. It's hard enough, isn't it, to face what's going on, and then to have our own histories getting tangled up in it. So yeah, I just wanted to state that. So knowing what we feel is a part of us, and sensing the bigger resources that are available in the body. This is what I want to speak about a bit. Something of me is anxious. Let me just take you back to that experience. Oh, okay. So I notice it more in one place now, but it's not all of me. Then I can begin to notice the rest of my body. Okay, what do I notice there? Oh, actually, I notice that my body feels all right in my legs or something. Yeah. It feels, oh, my hand. Yeah, there's some life in my hands. This bit of my breath feels okay. There's something that feels, you know, supported in my legs, you know. So through noticing the bigger body, we can sense other things that are going on that aren't just the panic, aren't just the overwhelm. So it kind of creates space. In a way, it's all about the same, you know, mix. It's continuing the same process of something in me creates space, yeah. And then we have more choice, you know, we have more possibilities, because some other things are available to us that weren't before. And this is very much grounded in working with trauma in terms of, I work with Peter Levine's method, somatic experiencing, and his, you know, at the core of that kind of model is that, you know, there's so much more in the body that's out of our awareness, that's trying to help us, you know, trying to resource us, you know, trying to regulate, you can use that language. If we can give it awareness, and it's very hard, of course, when we're feeling panicked and scared, our awareness narrows down. You know, for very good reason, right? For survival reasons, like, you don't need to know about all this stuff. You need to know about the tiger or the bear or the. So our awareness shuts down. That's great in the moment, but then actually, it's not always needed. You know, so we can begin to broaden our awareness and sense, oh, there's other things going on. There's actually some strength in my arms. There's some movement here. You know. To help us break out of immobility and that fear response. So yes, Pete Levine, that's his method. That's about finding what's alive in the body as opposed to what's frozen. So really working with the tendency that happens when we get overwhelmed to go into freeze, very into immobility, very common, and just a kind of a human animal experience. But finding ways of working with it, one way is this expanding our awareness beyond just that one thing in our body. So through something in me feels that. Just pausing there, because I'm cool. And any questions about that?
I was really interested in what you were saying about Peter Levine.
Mm.
And because we're kind of circling around grief in a way.
Mm.
But also, there's also other things that can work and get stuck.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
It's kind of about that stuckness in a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of really interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
Kind of gave her that kind of context.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Kind of, it gives a sense of the possibility that can be there in focusing too.
Yeah.
But often with things that don't feel like they have possibility.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of, I mean, that really touches in on what some of what happens in us when we face this situation is we feel like there is no possibility. I don't know, just like, you know, like, what can I do? There's nothing I can do in it. But for me, that was when I kind of explored that experientially, it was very much part of that overwhelm response. It wasn't a real risk. It wasn't like, actually, there's loads of things I could do. Or many things, let's say. But I forgot about, what can I do? So some part of it was kind of almost like emerged with that feeling of being overwhelmed and paralyzed by what's happening, by a big thing. We're paralyzed by a big thing. Yeah. Anyway, that was just sort of springboarding from what you were saying, Stephen. Or someone said, they have to go. Okay, yeah. See you later. Anything more on that point about working with this broader physiology, let's say? Yeah. Do you want to say more about that, Carol, or just have it there as a chat? I'm interested in what you want to bring here.
Well, it's just for me, this learning at the moment, more about the delicate balance of my own system,
yeah,
and the microbiome, and
yeah,
this wonderful self-regulating system, as you say. If I get out of the way and just let it do that, and so I think if I can't do that with me,
right, yeah,
it almost seems farcical to just go out there and you know, make, so that. I mean, I suppose at some point I've got, you know, it's like making a stand at some point. But yeah, for me, that's it. It's really just, it's just, God, I've just been learning more about the microbiome this week. And that, right, honestly, the connection it's giving. But, yeah, you know, I've learned that we're apparently 20% human DNA and the rest is bacteria, you know, bacteria is
coming. Yeah, yeah.
And I've just imagined, you know, imagine the insects that crawl across the planet as the planet's microbiome.
Wow, yeah.
And it's just really, honest, I'm just having this amazing time of feeling so connected.
Oh, thank you.
Probably coming on the back of the No Holding Back course as well.
Yeah.
I feel really, and so, yeah, I don't know if that, that's really all I was thinking when I wanted to say.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there is a connection there, which we could, one could explore. But exactly, yeah, with this inner ecosystem we've got, and then what's happening in the world, it's another instance, I think, of that interconnectedness we're talking about. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. How to approach feeling so small and powerless against the scale of what needs to happen? It's not anxiety. It's ? Yeah, is that the three dots? Is a kind of, there's not a word for that yet. Yeah, yeah. I suppose this will touch on our next topic. Maybe I'll use it as a dovetail into the next topic, which might be our last one. We're going to do four. We'll do three. So, which is something about finding our own response, finding our own response that fits our situation and life. It's part of that, what to do, you know, what to do. It's such a big situation. I mean, what needs to be done, it just seems enormous, isn't it? It's inconceivable, what the changes that need to happen, right? another way, but that's another way in which you can feel like overwhelmed, like so much to do, then, well, just too big. But for me, what I'm learning to do is, can I just take some small, can I do some small steps that are action, just any action, right? Any action works against that tendency to go into overwhelm and freezing and not doing anything at all. So there is this possibility of that we can find in our body through focusing or through other similar methodologies, like, okay, what can I do in this situation with this body, this place, in this community, in this location? You know, some part of me, and I'm sure it's similar, some part of me wants to save the world, right? Like, I want to do it all. If I can just fix it, amazing, right? There is that. And because we can't, we're like, oh, no, I can't. But what I can do, what can I do? Okay, well, I can... For me, it's like what I've ended up doing is following in the course of Nature Connection, for example, learning more about things that Carol's talking about, those ecosystems, yeah? Or learning more about how to work with grief, or learning more how to hold community circles, or talking to people about this, or creating situations where, like this, you know, steps I've taken to kind of, okay, that's what I can do. And those steps, even though they're not everything, they're a step, and our body knows how to do that. And focusing offers a way of finding some steps that feel right for you. So that's the point I want to make here. It's so easy, for me at least, and maybe for you, to compare, to get into loads of shoulds. So I should be doing this, I should be doing that, I should be being more of an activist, whatever that might mean. I should be giving up all my possessions, or I should be not using any piece of plastic ever again. Or I should, in so many shoulds we can get crowded around, or comparing oneself to other people. And again, we end up feeling overwhelmed, you know. But what can I do? What is there some step that I can find that's congruent for me and my gifts and my life? So for me, at least, focusing give me some way into that, finding a kind of congruent and response that's connected to this body and this life and this land, you know, the community around me in Stroud in Gloucestershire. And you'll have your own one, right? You'll have your own place where you are. That's what your body knows about. Yeah, your body knows about the place you're in and the people you're in and all that. And focusing gives a way of getting into that. Okay, what would be a next step? What would be a way of my way of living this? My way of responding that isn't anybody else's? What's your way? So I'll just pause there and just see if that makes sense. Now I can look at the pieces that are popping up. Right, so all next step is already in it. It's going to fall from there. Own spheres of influence. Yeah, and that sphere can be different day to day. That's right. I mean, this next step I'm talking about really is quite hard to make when we feel paralyzed. It's really kind of once we've got some handle on that, then we can begin to do this piece. It's not easy to sort of do it when we're a bit immobilized. Yeah, any questions or comments about that piece really? Yeah, great. Thank you, Liam. Yeah, really, really helpful to share that. So I'm really welcoming anyone's input that like experience. Great. Not to focus on some expected result, but taking positive action for its own sake, that feels good. Exactly. It's like it creates movement in our body, in our being, that it's so much better than feeling stuck and overwhelmed, right? It's so much, it feels better and it feels real. And yeah, so really. And Joanna Macy talks about this as well in her work about, you know, doing it because it's right, if you like, not doing it because it's going to work or not work. You know, you do it because it feels good. We don't know the result. You know, we can't completely, and we get, that's one of the parts of us that gets caught up in, but what if, you know, but it might not work. And that is some part of us that really wants to know. And we're completely faced with so many unknowns. So that's definitely something we haven't touched on here, but that's a real big piece of this, is we just don't know, you know, how it's all going to unfold. Yeah. So I think there's something funny. It reduces the feelings of rage when experience when things aren't happening as you had hoped. Yeah. So I love that, feel what feels good inside. I mean, that's a real real kind of compass point of, and what focusing or other embodied practices can help us touch. We know what, you know, we know that. We know what feels good. There's a yes in the body, you know, and it goes, yes, that's right. That feels good to me. That's right. And that touchstone is what focusing can really help you to pay attention to. If you don't have it, you know, of course, many people have it already. Focusing is a very natural process, where I'm just pointing to something that humans have. Yeah. Also, what is the very next thing I can do to resource myself in order to be stronger and more available? Great. Thank you so much, Rainbow. Exactly. Maybe it's taking time to make a drink. Go for a walk in nature, sit under a tree, yeah? I love that. It's so easy to think, oh no, I'm not doing anything, I'm just... But actually you're resourcing yourselves to go into the world. I had an image, I'll share with you here, an image that came from focusing, and I was feeling into this, oh, I'm not doing enough, and I was really tired, I'm like, I really need a rest, but the world's, it's so urgent, I need to do. And I thought, okay, what does my body know about this? And then this image came, which was, I felt really lovely. It just came from that. Near the penguins, is it in the Antarctic? And the penguins, they take it in turns to be on the outside of the circle, taking the brunt of the storm. And then in the middle, they all huddle up and rest. I say they rest. I don't know what they do, but they get warm, right? So there's and I thought, ah, right. Oh, God. My whole body just like relaxed, and it's very much like this. It's like we can together, right? We can support each other in this process. So we can be like penguins. Sometimes we can rest and go for a walk and resource ourselves. I think that's so important. Someone else writes, yeah, I write poetry. Yeah. Creativity is so important with this, working creatively. Giving space to an expression to what we're feeling, what's going on. Yeah. Right, I'm really loving people's collective wisdom here. I'm really appreciating it. So we're out of time. We've got 5 minutes left. Just time for another couple of questions or comments about this. So I'll just give a recap of what we've looked at. We've looked at where we come from. We've looked at being bigger than your feelings. And a sort of sub bracket of that would be like expressing or working with grief. So it's about being with feelings and then noticing what feels good and alive in the body through that process of being something, being bigger, something, and you feel scared. Ah, I can notice more in my body now, giving more space, more fresh air. And then this last bit about finding our own unique response and next steps to come. Anyway, from a more embodied place. So that's some of it. We know we could go on, but those are the topics we've covered. And any questions? And we just really just touched on things. Really, an hour's very little time. Gives me the inspiration to do a course on it next year. So anything more? Okay. So I will mention, yeah, when you're running it. Well, we'll mention what we're doing next week, which isn't exactly a grief circle, but it is an online ceremony of welcoming. Kind of wanted to. It's a kind of experiment, at least for me. It is. I mean, I know other people have done something similar, but being in the circle of holding that kind of holding a circle is not an experiment, but online is a thing. So myself and Claire are holding the space next week, honoring our pain for the world. So we've got an hour and a half, and there's a kind of form that will follow. Very simple. and people invite to bring and share something of their pain for the world. And we're going to invite people to do that through bringing an object that represents that. And if you're registered, I'll email you about what to do here. But just to say it now, so people are going to bring something. And there's a kind of ceremonial space where we're just witnessing each other and bringing that. We won't be discussing anything. It's just a kind of like a held, open, welcoming space for whatever people want to bring in that. So that's this time next week, 7:30 to 9 p.m. So yeah, if you're registered, you'll get some information about that, about how we're going to approach that and how to prepare for it. So that's just kind of one follow-on. I mean, I'm hoping to follow on with things in connection with this next year, maybe some other seminars. I'd like to do some more work on grief, for example. But yeah, we've touched on lots here that we could expand on. Yeah. Okay. Anything more before we finish?
I just thank you for this chance to get together and connect this way.
Yeah, thank you. Great. Yeah, and it's been good. I mean, realize what a big topic it all is. It's one of the things. Wow. But I really appreciate people showing up and the wisdom that people have brought to. It's really helpful. Thank you. Yeah, and also I'm going to post the recording to this online. If you want to share that is fine. Yeah, and for those who are registered next week, you'll get some information about that. Thank you, everyone. Yeah, you can either say goodbye in the chat or say goodbye verbally, whatever works. So, yeah. Bye, folks. See you another time.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Thanks, Anne. See you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Peter.